Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Gospel of John, you want to turn to chapter 12. And while you're looking and doing that, I just want to say hi to somebody. Hey, Coach. Good to see you. How you doing, hon? I'm all right. Let's see that ring. Good to have you here, Coach. Cliff, you and I need to have coffee together in the next couple days. Okay? All right. Gospel of John, chapter 12. When you're in John chapter 12, then I want you to go back one chapter to 11. How's that? And then from there, I'd like you to go back three books. No, I'm kidding you. John chapter 11. This is an account where one of Jesus' friends dies. And he is not in that area at the time. And the news reaches him that his friend is very sick. And that he has died. And the friends has sisters who Jesus knows. They know him. And Jesus shows up to bring comfort to the family. He had to walk and travel a couple of days or so to get there. And it says on his arrival, verse 17, chapter 11 of John. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, he went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. I want you to catch this, that she had faith in him. Because she has seen and witnessed and heard of him healing people before and speaking words of life. But now death came. And she says, you know, if he'd have been here, I know he would have been spared. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. What a challenge for you and I. To hear the words of somebody who is acquainted with life just like we are. With life and its troubles, its struggles, its hassles, even with death around us. This woman says, even now, I know God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. This is not what Jesus was talking about. He says, he will rise again. And she quickly jumped in and says, yes, I know that on the last day he will rise again. She believes in the resurrection. And Jesus now moves her from where she's at to how he is thinking. Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she said, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside, the teachers here. And they go ahead and have dialogue. And I want you to move ahead in this chapter. He instructs them to remove the stone. And in verse 41, so they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit for the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when Jesus had said this, then Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! Lazarus rises from the dead. And he comes out. With his grave clothes on. We know that Jesus Christ was crucified, dead and buried. We celebrate Good Friday and Easter every year. And the message of Christ's resurrection rings around the globe on that Sunday. But I want you to know that every day, you and I get to enjoy a resurrected life because of faith in Him. You see, His resurrection, His conquering sin and death and hell, because that's what He did. He lived a life that was sinless, okay, without sin. He conquered sin. They crucified Him because He carried the weight of sin, though He didn't commit any. He carried the weight of sin of humanity from time before to present and even now into our lives. All our tomorrows that God gives us. He carried the weight of sin. So He died as a criminal on a cross. He physically died, descended into hell, and on the third day rose again. He conquered sin, He conquered death, He conquered hell. And it's why He is the way, the truth, and the life. And as Jesus asked Mary, let me ask you this, do you believe this? Three of you do. Well, I'm going to work on the rest. Do you believe this? I want you to know that we believe, according to Scripture and who Jesus is, we believe in the resurrection of the dead. That though we will die, if God should tarry and not return with the rapture through Jesus Christ in our lifetime, we know that those who believe and die, they do not really die, He says. They resurrect. They will be with Him. Okay? They will rise first, and then He will come for those who have faith who are still living. These are scriptural principles, doctrines. If this is a little bit over your head because you don't have a lot of Bible knowledge, it's okay. We get there. And I don't want to get hung up on that this morning because we're just kind of going a little bit different direction here. But the resurrection, our salvation, the resurrection after we're dead because of faith in Christ. We know Him as our Savior. We're saved from our sins, the consequences, the eternal consequences of our sin. There is also in this life a resurrected life that we are supposed to live. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Christ is the resurrection and the life. But in this life that we now live, because He is the resurrection, He's made a way. He conquered it, and through faith in Him, we can follow Him in that way. But in this life, we are called, and you can find different places through the Scripture, and we will look at this, where we are supposed to die to ourself and then live this resurrected life. In this life we now have is a life unto Christ, empowered by Him, changed and transformed by Him. I want you to look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, let's start with verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit of God, and the Spirit desires what is contrary to the sinful nature. You know what he's talking about here. You ever have the battle within? This is what I desire, but I know this is not what's right. And I know I've been called to something different and to live different. And not just some moral code, but a relationship with the Savior. And because of this relationship, I know that I'm supposed to live different. Supposed to be transformed, but you still feel the battle. I want you to know, no matter how long you walk with the Lord, you still feel the battle. And you know why? Because you and I are still carrying around this flesh. And this flesh is supposed to be crucified. And the life we now live is supposed to be a resurrected life, a Spirit-led life. The Spirit of God leading and empowering, changing, transforming us, moving through us, being effective in his kingdom and desire for other people. It's not about just being nice to people. That's part of it. But it's about being nice because of the Holy Spirit caring for people around us. Him bringing breath to that kindness. That's what makes the difference. And so he goes on and he says here, they are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. Oh, can I read that again? The spirit and our flesh are in conflict. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. How many of you know that sometimes what we want is not what's best? You see, there's the philosophy that this is my life. Even in Christendom, well, this is my life and it's my decision to make. Yes, it is your decision, but understand that in Christ, when you die to yourself and live unto him, it is not your life anymore. There is no, it's my life. Teenager in this place, you got a parent and you're having conflict and they're trying to help you or coach you, or maybe their help is not all that helpful. Maybe they've got a own personal agenda and it's wrong and you want to just out of your frustration say, this is my life. I got news for you. That sounds really good and it sounds really tough and it sounds really independent and you're ready to go, but I want you to know it is not the gospel. You say this to yourself right now. Teenagers, young adults in this place, well, we should all do it, but especially to say, this is Christ's life. This is Christ's life in me, for me. What he wants for me, what he desires for me. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Whoo, say that again. I'm so glad you're here. Hallelujah. I like the H word, you know, holy, hallelujah, Harley. It's a 3-point sermon right there. We are not under the law. It doesn't mean we get to live how we want, but when Christ lives in us, we only are going to do the things that are right and pure and holy and noble. Right? So we don't have to worry about the law. We just worry about following him and keeping in step with the Spirit. Anyhow, it says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious, and they go ahead and list them, and some of them are there, and there's more, and we could all come up with our own, right? We don't need to read them, but they're there. And then it talks about, in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And I want you to know that all of those, because they are characters in the nature of God, they come with power. The fruit of the Spirit is power. It is. These things are so powerful. It's one of the reasons that I wear this patch. Because people think if you're kind, you're soft. That's why I wear this patch. Don't mistake kindness for weakness. The character of God is power. It breaks through. Because it's his character and he puts it in us, that character in virtue alone being evident in our life because of him, I want you to know that it goes forward and it breaks barriers. It breaks strongholds. It breaks hindrances. It's what it does. We get to share in his nature when we die to ourselves, keep in step with the Spirit. We share in his nature being evident in us. And as we go forth in this life and he pours out of us, these things are empowered by his Spirit and they break barriers. They break when people are, you know, giving you the stiff arm and they're mean to everybody else. I watch this happen all the time. I'll be honest with you. I watch this happen on a weekly basis. You see this in your own life. You can go up to very hard people, very difficult people, And you know what? When these things pour forth in your life, and sometimes they look like they're this gentle, you know, and all of a sudden it just, that gentleness breaks the hardest, coldest shell. And the love of God begins to move into a person's life. Right? I mean, what is it that draws us to repentance? The scripture says it is his what? His loving kindness. Loving kindness conquers darkness. We think darkness is, you know, because it's evil and it's dark. I mean, dark, dark. And then it's so strong and you can't penetrate it. Listen, loving kindness, because it's God, it shows up like light. And when light shows up, darkness cannot stay. It can't stay. This resurrected life we're supposed to live, empowered by Him, by His Spirit. It says this, against these things, these fruits of the Spirit, the character of God in us, against these things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another. That's a whole sermon in itself, that last verse. Listen, we are supposed to die to ourselves and to live unto Christ. It says in Romans chapter 8 that the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you. Turn to the person next to you and say, if you believe in Jesus Christ, do that part. The same Spirit, say it, that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Dwells in you. Listen, you and I have limitations and we have boundaries. We come to points where we can bear it no more. But the Spirit of God has no limitations. His kingdom knows no bounds. So when His Spirit is in you, guess what? You are not limited. If you will abandon yourself, crucify yourself, and you live unto Christ. Here's where part of the problem comes for us as Christians. As we want to live this resurrected life, we want the security of heaven. But we forget, if we're going to live a resurrected life, before you and I can live a resurrected life, in the meaning of resurrection itself, there is something that is required first. Before you can have a resurrection, there has to be a death. And we want to live this resurrected life in Christianity. We know it's what we're called to. We want the resurrected life, but we skip the part about dying to ourselves. We skip that part. We still sing the songs, we still jump around, we still pray, we still read the scripture, we still do, you know, some kind acts, we volunteer at the church, we serve in the community, we do nice things because of our faith in the Lord. But then there's some moments in our life that things creep in, they press us, they agitate us, and we make license. We make license, give ourselves permission to conduct ourselves in a way that is unholy for a Christian because we know ourselves, we are not dead. We want to live the resurrected life, but we want to skip the dying because it's painful and it takes away our pride and we have to be humble. I'm doing my best, bro. We want to skip the death part. I get that. Jesus said it in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to his suffering and trial on the cross. He got alone. His disciples were there, but he was a little ways away, and it says he prayed. And he was in turmoil, and he was sweating droplets of blood. And he said, Father, if you could let this cup pass before me, in other words, if you would not make me drink of this cup, this going to my death, this crucifixion, that'd be great. I'm paraphrasing. But he said, nevertheless, your will, not my own. Listen, in that moment, victory was purchased for us. He made a decision before he ever got there. So when he got there, it wasn't up for another vote. It wasn't up to revisit on some agenda. He settled it beforehand. The decision was made. Listen, one of our coaches is here, and I'm sorry to make a I don't want to make a spectacle of you, but he's here this morning, and he will tell you this. Games are not just won and lost on game night. They are won and lost in the week before. And how we practice, how we live, what we do. That's what games are won and lost. It's not just when the buzzer goes off. I mean, yeah, that's the final score. Games are won and lost in that week before. How we live, what we do. Listen, I got to tell you, on the back of my vest here, here's another patch that's not by accident. There's a patch here. It says, this ain't no dress rehearsal. Let me tell you why that patch is important to me. It means this, that everything we do counts. This sermon is not won and lost on Sunday morning. It's on this week before in the condition of the preacher's heart. It's how we live in the privacy, in the moments when we are agitated and our flesh is stirred up and we just want to, we want to retaliate. We want to move out in anger. We want frustration. We got to let it out. Oh, yeah, you do. And those around you, they get it. Not in the resurrected life. We died, and Christ now lives in us. That's the promise. That's the hope. You are not left on your own. You may have been forsaken all of your life. You may have had people all around you disappoint you, especially those who you thought and expected more of. Your expectations were probably even legitimate, whether it was a mom or a dad or a teacher or a coach or a pastor or whoever, and somebody somewhere. But I want you to know, that experience in your life, do not use it as license. It is not more powerful than the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of His Spirit to set you free from the influence of those things because you have died to yourself. Listen, we've all had injustices done to us, some more severe than others. I get it. We've all got our own story. Pastor, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what's been done to me. You're right, I don't know. All I know is what's been done for us. So what's been done for us? That He can actually live in us and through us. And we still make mistakes. I still got to know how to repent. I do. I still have to know how. Because before I'm a pastor, I'm a man. I'm a man. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a friend. Those are the titles that matter most in my life. Called to live the resurrected life, not here on the platform. The moments where pain wants to take advantage of me, or hurt wants to get me to compromise, Her pride wants to come in. No. I died. Now Jesus lives in me. So I can be filled with peace, faith, confidence in Him. Not living by the opinion of the world. Living according to the truth of God. Not the opinion of God. He doesn't have an opinion. He has truth. Period. Live according to the truth of God. You and I are called to a resurrected life. But before we can live the resurrected life and the power and of His Spirit coming in and, you know what, being able to deal with things different than we've ever dealt with them, to go further with things, and yet without this incredible burden that crushes us, we first have to do this. We have to die. That's the gospel. I mean, it's filled with hope and peace, but and this resurrected life and all because of this personal faith, not just some religious obligation, not some, you know, do's and don'ts. No, it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ and following after Him like disciples and making mistakes and learning and making the road to dying to ourselves, allowing Jesus Christ to live in us. That makes a living church. Because there's life. The life of Christ is living in us and through us. This ain't no dress rehearsal. It all counts. It says the acts of the flesh are obvious. But I want you to know what else is obvious. The character, the virtue, and the acts of God's Spirit. You've had those moments, just like I've had them. Somebody's watching you. You don't even know it. You're a Christian, aren't you? Yeah. Not, yeah. Yeah. Because they watched you. And they've seen everybody else. I was going down to the jail to make a visit. They wouldn't let me in. So I went out and broke the law so I could get... No, I didn't. That visit was really important. No. Tried to make it a second time. Couldn't get in because of some things that were going on at the jail, and that's all right. And I said, well, you know, what can I do? And this is okay. Hey, I want to play by the rules. I said, you know, that's fine. And they looked through the glass with their gloves on. Wow. You're being awfully nice about this. I was like, well, yeah. I was a little puzzled. They said, well, not everybody responds like this. Like, getting mad and hitting the glass that's this thick is going to get you in. I said, okay, well, you know, when do I need to come back? Who do I need to talk to? And just go through the steps. People notice. And it's not always the person you're talking to, but it's the secondary audience around you. And the Spirit of God is seeping and pouring through your life when it's a resurrected life. But before the resurrected life can be evident, there has to be a death. Here's the good news of the gospel. Die to yourself. Good news of the gospel, we can be saved. Yes! But between here and that eternity, we can live a resurrected life. Turn to the person next to you and say, you can live a resurrected life. Here's the thing. Your face will still say the same. You will still go by the same name. But all the people around you will thank God and say you're not the same person. Hallelujah. just want to know if it's real. Thanks for letting me have fun with you. Or for the forgiveness. I didn't really ask permission. Notice I moved over here quickly. You are called and empowered. Here's the thing. He empowers us to live a resurrected life. This is not die, and now I got to be good all on my own. I got news for you. You and I can't do it. We cannot do it. We are not that good. I need his power in me. I need his power in me to do things that do not come natural. I have to die to me. Listen, I am not always thrilled to be sitting in a vehicle at the third stop at a different store waiting for my wife.
Been there?
God knows my thoughts. He knows my thoughts, dude. He knows your thoughts. You're sitting close now and your arm around her, and that's good and wonderful. But there's moments, aren't there? is there? Yeah, we'll see you guys sometime this week, I'm sure, in my office. No, I'm messing with you. There's moments. And those little moments are the things that eat us and drive wedges in and open the door to the work of the enemy. And then guilt and all the stuff starts flowing in. I want you to know you can live a resurrected life through faith in Jesus Christ, dying to yourself, your ways. His ways are higher than our ways. The wisdom of this world is foolishness. I like the scripture that says the foolishness of God, as if he has any, is wiser than the wisdom of men. He created us. He knows how things are supposed to work. Sin and humanity has gotten in the way. And you and I can look at the world and say, yeah, 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 but I got to make it personal and say, what I'm criticizing the world and the government and all this, I've done in my own personal life. I've messed things up. I need his forgiveness. I need him to help me. I need him to change me. I don't want to conform to the patterns of this world any longer. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, that I would be able to test and approve what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is. That's what it says in Romans chapter 12, first two verses. If you didn't get all I said, you can look it up, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Listen, I want you to live a resurrected life. That's my hope for you, for my hope for me, my children, that they would even be empowered by Christ to overcome their natural tendencies, the sinful nature. I believe there are great people in this room who have tried really hard on their own. Even though you believed in Christ for forgiveness and salvation, you're kind of kicking it over to trying hard on your own. And the effort is commendable. However, you got to walk and keep in step with the Spirit. I have to walk and keep in step with Him. I cannot presume to just keep doing things the same way because I'll get the same results. I got to do things His way so that I can get His results. And it will involve faith, and it will involve me abandoning myself and dying to myself and living unto Christ and allowing His Spirit to resurrect me from this death, so that he could live in me. Voice sounds the same. Still answer to the same name. But I'm a person that is being transformed by the power of Christ.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.